So I'm here with Brian Stokes Mitchell, and he is the guest star for this year's BYU Idaho Christmas. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Brianna. It's nice to be with you.
So can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Let's see here. I don't know where to start. There's lots to tell. I've had a rather adventurous life. My father was a civilian who worked for the Navy, so I was raised overseas in Guam and the Philippines and San Diego, and later moved to Los Angeles, born in Seattle, and moved around a lot. And I started acting and singing when I was about 14 years old in San Diego, and then quickly moved up to Los Angeles right after high school, and then got involved in television. And I was doing a show called Trapper John MD, for those old enough to remember that. I did that show for about 7 years and then went into voiceovers and animated voiceovers. And then I went back to the stage. My training was always in the stage, and especially musical theater. And I did my first Broadway show. When was that? 1980-something. I can't remember when. It was called Mail. And then I kind of ended up making my home in New York, where I'm calling you from right now. I've done, I think, 10 or 12 Broadway shows. I stopped counting, and I've won 2 Tony Awards now. And now I've gone back into television, actually. I just got home about 2-3 days ago from shooting a new television series for CBS called FAM, F-A-M, which is a mid-season replacement TV show, which will be on sometime January, February, or March. So I'm one of the new stars of that show. Nobody has heard of it yet or probably seen it. It's been on some social media, but it really hasn't been advertised yet because we have to wait for another show to kind of to drop by the wayside before we get slotted in. But it's a really spectacular show with a great cast. It's a 4-camera comedy, a half-hour show, and a lot of fun. And in the course of that as well, I've been busy recording my 3rd solo album, which is called Plays with Music, which I was hoping would be out this holiday season. But the television series ended up kind of taking all that time for me. So now that I've gotten back to New York, I'm going to continue working on it, and hopefully it will be out when the series starts.
Yeah, that sounds like you're pretty busy.
Yes, life is good.
I think what I know you best from would probably be your voiceover work from The Prince of Egypt, because I grew up watching that.
Oh, yeah, isn't that a great film?
Oh, yeah, it's so fun.
I love that so much. I was doing Ragtime at that time, and this year, by the way, just as a side note, is the 20th anniversary of Ragtime. So one of the things we're planning on doing is a Ragtime reunion concert, probably in April, here in New York, which will be we're trying to get it so that it'll be live broadcast as well, so that people in Idaho and other parts of the country that aren't able to come see the one night performance only show will also be able to enjoy it as well. So that's the other thing that we'll be prepping for. But while I was doing that show 20 years ago, I was called in to audition for a singing voice in a film called Prince of Egypt. And it was a role that Danny Glover was the speaker for, but he didn't sing. So they were looking for somebody who could sound sort of close to him and who could sing. And I went in and they immediately picked me for the part. And I loved it as well because that song, Through Heaven's Eyes, I fell in love with immediately. It's a Stephen Schwartz song, who is one of my favorite theater composers, and I sing it in a number of concerts. And as a matter of fact, I will be singing it in this concert as well with the choir behind me.
Oh, that's so exciting! Yeah, can you tell me a little bit about what music you have planned for this concert?
It's kind of a fun mishmash, I guess you would say, of some of my favorite Christmas tunes. For about the last 10 years or so, I've been doing Christmas concerts all over the place. I think the last time I was there in Rexburg was about 8 years ago. So I've added and subtracted songs from that particular thing, the original that we started out with. One of the songs I'll be doing is Friendly Beasts, which I originally did with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, a wonderful arrangement that the great Mac Wilberg, Milt Wilberg did of this song. I also do The Little Drummer Boy. It's just been one of my favorite songs to do, which is one of my favorite songs as a kid as well. And then some other fun tunes. I don't want to give everything away. So, you know, it's going to be a really delightful show. And also, I want to fit my repertoire in with the repertoire that everybody there is doing, because of course the choir and there'll be dancers and singers and the orchestra, they'll be doing their own thing as well. So I want to make sure that it matches and feels right for the spirit of what they're trying to create for the Christmas show as well.
Right. And do you remember much of your concert that you did the first time you were here?
I remembered it was cold.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I just got on my phone yesterday, and I thought, you know, I better look up and see what the temperature is going to be there in Rexburg, because I remembered it was cold last time, and I just got back, like I said, from California, where it was like 80 degrees. And then even getting back here to New York, of course, it was a good transition because it was, I think, in the low 30s when I got in. But it will be dropping lower when it gets there. But I remember flying over because I'd never been to Rexburg before. And I remember flying in. It was dark when I flew in. And you could see the snow. There was already snow there. Is there snow there now?
Just little skiffs. Not like a
ton. Yeah. There was a heavier snow the last time that I was there, and I remember it was really beautiful flying over the town and the surrounding towns as well, because not only could you see the white of the snow kind of everywhere, but you could see all the Christmas lights that were up on the houses, and you know, and that kind of gets an extra brilliance when reflected off of the snow, and it got me in an extra Christmassy mood. But it did remind me, I'm going to storage today, because you know, everybody in New York has a storage place somewhere, because nobody lives in a house,
right?
So you make the best use of your space. And so I decided I better get my really good thick winter coat when I go to storage today. So that's one of the things that's on my list.
Yeah, I think, when you came last time, then you were the first performer at the new BYU-Idaho Center.
I believe so. And it's funny because I remember they were telling me I performed with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir there in the conference center a number of times now, and which one of my favorite places to perform. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was told about Rexburg, they said, yeah, we have a conference center that'll rival the one in Salt Lake City. I remember thinking to myself, oh, really? That's a pretty amazing conference center there. And then I got to Rexburg and I said, yeah, this one kind of rivals the one in Salt Lake City. It's a really wonderful venue to play, too.
Yeah, it is fun with the, you know, they have that whole, like, kind of stage area they can set out that lets us do dancers and the orchestra and all that at the same time.
Yeah, and what's better than a Christmas concert, you know? I mean, everybody's happy to be there. Everybody's kind of in a Christmas mood. And especially, you know, when you go to a place like Rexburg knows how to do it, you know, and they do it with an orchestra, and they have dancers, and they have a choir, and it's beautiful lighting. And, you know, it's just done right. So I'm really happy to be back there.
Oh, glad you think so. So what do you generally do for Christmas?
It kind of depends on the year. We have family spread all over the place, and we were still trying to decide what we were going to do. Because it's not cold enough in New York, the last few years we've been going to Chicago, where my in-laws live. And, you know, we want to get some of that lake effect wind that, you know, also brings the wind chill factor down another 200 degrees. And, you know, that's how I like my Christmas. It's frozen solid. And so we've been doing that for the last few years. This year, we actually might have Christmas here. We might host it here in New York. You know, I don't know if you've ever been out to New York on Christmas, but it is really a fun place with all the lights. You know, you have Rockefeller Center and the Christmas tree, and walking up Fifth Avenue, and everybody has the windows decorated and their lights out every place. That's one of our Christmas traditions that we have in our family too, is we'll just choose one day and just go walk and look at the windows and eat chestnuts, hot chestnuts from the street vendors, and you know, see people and see the skaters and get our picture in front of the gigantic, you know, Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center. So we'll probably have you know, more family doing that as well. My family, that's my wife Allison's family, is from Wisconsin, so of course this cold is nothing to her. But My family lives out in California, and I had the opportunity when I was shooting the TV series out there to see my sister and my brother, who I don't get that many opportunities to see this time. So I had a nice Thanksgiving with my brother, actually. So I don't know, I might ask them and see if they want to come out, but that's a long way for them to come, and they have to work too. So I don't know if they'll be able to work that one out.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like, you know, your Christmas is just about the same as everyone else's.
Pretty much, yeah. I would think so, you know, except for it's in New York. But there's a lot of people that have Christmas in New York, so it is pretty much just like everybody else. You know, Christmas is, for me, the holiday really, I think, starts at Thanksgiving. I think that's true for a lot of people. And I might have to say Thanksgiving is perhaps my favorite of the holidays, just because it's so much less commercial than Christmas is. You know, I don't know if everybody else is like me, but I'm driven a little bit crazy by the commerciality of it, and everybody feels obligated to get presents, and all. There's a lot of thought put into material things, you know. And for me, I think it gets away from what the spirit of Christmas is really about. But at Thanksgiving, you still have that. It is a time for, you know, gathering together and families and being thankful and just having a meal and kind of celebrating life and celebrating, you know, what you're thankful for. As a matter of fact, that's kind of our tradition at Thanksgiving. And I feel like it almost starts off the holiday is before the meal. Whoever is at the meal with us, you know, we usually have lots of guests with us. We just go around the table and everybody says what they're thankful for. And it's a really nice way to start it off, because especially towards the end of the year, like November is, lots of things have happened. Some great, some terrible, some, you know, wonderful, some fantastic, some awful. But there's always reason to find thanks in whatever happens in life.
Very true. And if you don't mind me asking, what were you thankful for this year?
Wow, I was thankful for a lot of things. I was, for the first and foremost, I was thankful. I literally got back. We had our family Thanksgiving. We actually decided to celebrate it on Saturday, just because I finished my last day of filming Sam on Wednesday night. And so we said, you know, we don't have to have Thanksgiving on Thursday, just because, you know, the television and everybody's telling us that's supposed to be Thanksgiving. I said, let's move it to Saturday. Then I actually ended up having two Thanksgivings, one with my brother, as I said, in California, and then the other one here on Saturday. So the first and foremost thing that I was thankful for was to be back together with my family again. I'd been out in California for 4 months. And so that's a long time to be away from everybody, especially my 14-year-old son. You know, we kept in contact via Facebook and phone all the time. But it's not the same thing as actually being there physically and being able to, you know, hug somebody and just be there with them in the same room and breathe the same air. But that was the first and foremost thing. And also, you know, my career has been very, very wonderful to get a series at the age that I am at this point. And also, it's interesting, my very first series was on CBS. And that was how many years ago? 40 years ago. And now here I am back on CBS doing another series. I don't know back then that I would ever think that I would have this long a career. And I was also on Billions, another television show, which is a Netflix show, a lot. I guest starred on a number of different shows earlier this year. So that part, the career seems to be going strong, and still, you know, happy with the album and the way that's going, that I'm able to do that. People still want to hear me sing, which is awfully nice, you know, and just thankful for health and you know, all the usual things as well. But, you know, life has been very, very kind. You know, I've had my share of terrible things, like everybody has as well. But, you know, we can't let those overshadow all the great things that happen in our lives as well. And that's what's great. It's about Thanksgiving and this time of year is it's a time to focus on the positive and the good things in life and what makes us happy and what brings us joy.
Yeah, Christmas and the holiday season in general, then people just seem a little bit happier, perhaps.
Absolutely. Yes. Until the bills come.
Until January.
Yeah, but that's January. Yeah, that's why everybody's funky at the beginning of the year, right?
Yeah.
Happy New Year. Oh, yeah. Happy New Year yourself.
Yay. I had one more thing I was a little curious about when I was reading, I think, your kind of bio on your website.
Yes.
And it said that you sometimes fly, jump out of planes, and you will ride a bike on a high wire.
Oh, yes. Yeah. What did you want to know?
Yeah, I'm like, especially the high wire thing. How do you get into that?
Well, you know what? Years and years ago, there was a show called Circus of the Stars that used to be on television. And this is when I was doing Trapper John, actually. And what they did is they got people that were doing different television series at that time. And they there was a gentleman named Bob Yerkes at that time who had a place in like in the valley of Los Angeles, which is a little north of the regular city itself. And he worked with the circus, and he had there all of the circus equipment set up, a high wire, a trapeze, just all kinds of different things. And all of these people would come there and train all these performers from the show. So what I really wanted to do was the trapeze, because I kind of like, you know, daredevil things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm at 6'2" and 180 pounds. That's too big because, you know, for the catcher, especially if you're doing tricks, you multiply that two or three times, and that's probably the weight that they're catching, you know, when you're pulling down on somebody hanging from by their legs from this little swing.
Right.
So they said, how about the high wire? And so I tried it out, and it turned out I had a pretty good sense of balance, and I learned to not only ride a bike on it, but jump rope on it. And I think it's very much like riding a bike on land. Once you learn to do it, it's just one of those skills. Your body seems to remember it. I've been on some slack wires, which is like a high wire that's really loose. And I found that I'm still able to hold my balance on those as well. So, but the big trick that we did is we had two of us, there were three of us that did the act together. And two of us, the men were on bicycles, and there was a woman on a shoulder thing that went across both of our shoulders, and then she was balancing on that as well. So that was kind of the final trick, and it was rather a scary trick to do because the line is 25 feet up in the air, the high wire, and because of that, they had to put guy wires on it to keep the line solid because it's so high up. And also because of the weight that's on it. But we used to call those lines, the guy wires, Velveeta lines, because we thought if you fell over those lines, if we had an accident and all fell off the bikes and hit one of those lines, we would be sliced like Velveeta cheese on these lines. So fortunately that never happened. We did the tricks, and I did the jump rope, which is a very, very difficult trick.
Mm.
I've since learned that not very many people actually jump rope on high wires because it's so hard to do. So I was really happy to be able to do that.
Yeah, I can't even really jump rope that well on regular ground. So.
Well, you might as well take it up on a high wire.
Yeah, I might have some more luck. Well, so great talking to you. I really hope, I think that we're just about filling the iCenter.
Oh, fantastic. I really look forward to performing for everybody there. It was such a great audience. It's just such a great spirit there. And I'm really looking forward to returning and entertaining people and having some fun and singing some beautiful tunes and making people laugh and just feel good about the holidays.